Now we've got the young'uns out of the way. We're getting up to the senior end. And I've enjoyed each of the sermons and how they dovetail together is almost unreasonable. Lots of things we have heard that, you know, if they're almost too good to be true, they probably aren't. But with God, everything can be true, can be wonderful, can seem almost too good to be true and still be true with God. Way back in Daniel's time, he saw the vision, the image. And he said at the time that image was standing, the church would be restored. And they told how many years. It said days. It had it in days. It had it in months. It had it in times and a half time. But the precision of it was almost too good to be true. Except it really was. The last of the 10 toes that was in that image, which was the overcoming by the bombards in the fall of 69, spring of 70, 569, 570. Then, when those days or those years were accomplished, for only several months, was those same kingdoms all in existence at the same time in the latter part of 1829, early part of 1830. And we usually think of the church as being restored on April 6th of 1830. However, that was the accomplishment of the church as far as the laws of the land was concerned. The church was actually started sometime prior to that. There was already authority given. There was preaching already done. But it was within those months in late 29, early 30s, at the time that image, the representation of the different parts of that image, was all in existence at that same time. Yes, the church did have some problems. The adversary was there to get in the way. And by 1834, enough pride was within the church that they didn't think that Church of Christ was enough name for the church. So they changed it to the Church of the Latter-day Saints. We're all saints, so we don't need Church of Christ. We're all saints. And then I think about another 4 years, I think it's 1838, but I'm not sure of that date, I think it was, that they woke up that they had left the Lord's name out entirely and changed it to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which it remained there until 1844, when Joseph was killed. And people that had resisted many of the new elevations, many of the new doctrines that had been brought into the church, they went their various ways. The larger portion went to Utah under Brigham Young. But they chose to rebaptize, which severed them from the original church. The other went two or three different directions, maybe more than two or three. What we always refer to as the Crow Creek branch, which rallied around Danville Hedvig and tried to go back to the original doctrines, the things that had been brought into the church. And went back to the original name, the Church of Christ. Yes, there was another branch, the Church of Jesus Christ. And then there was what was known as the New Organization, which later changed it to the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, RLDS as we know it. But to my knowledge, the Church of Christ is the only branch that went back and had in the church the officers as Christ had established it. No president, 12 apostles, evangelists, teachers, and so forth. All other branches had a president. Oh yes, we had a president for a little while. Granville Hedrick was considered president, and then he saw the error of his way and he stepped down. So yes, we are that church. As Joe so eloquently said. I guess Joe kind of scared me when he laid out that whole list there. I thought, boy, all them references, we ain't never going to get on. But I finally decided that this was, but maybe he's just going to read a sermon. Nah, not a Smith. They're not going to read a sermon. Do well to read a scripture. But I also thought he's going to wear his glasses out, putting them off and on. He hadn't learned to be broke the glasses yet like I have. I have to wear my glasses to find the pulpit, not just to read. I want to read this morning from second chapter of Mosiah. And I don't believe there's anyone here that needs me to explain where Mosiah is and where Mosiah came from. That this is one of the books in the Book of Mormon. And the Book of Mormon is a record of the ancient people on this country, on this continent. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking the words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, O have mercy and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth, and all things, and who shall come down among the children of men. Now remember and realize that this was being written, being said about 124 years before Christ's time. So Christ's coming was still in the future. But they had a knowledge. They had a knowledge from God. Some of it given by an angel, some given by inspiration to the various prophets, writers over the years, and particularly to King Benjamin. But King Benjamin had a great amount of wisdom. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy. I don't know what to be said for that. I think that's all-inclusive. Having received a remission of their sins and having peace of conscience because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, which should come according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken unto them. And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, My friends and my brethren, my kindred and my people, I would again call your attention that ye may hear and understand the remainder of my words which I shall speak unto you. For behold, that if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time hath awakened you to a sense of your nothingness, and your worthless and fallen state. We sometimes get thinking we're really something. That's when we get in trouble. When we think that we really are something pretty great. But that all the things that we have and all the things that we have done has come from God. And that we have been paid for all of the good things we may have done. So we are still in debt to God for everything. So we have no real value more than just the dust of the earth, because the dust of the earth belongs to God also. I say unto you that if you have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonements which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments. Diligent in keeping his commandments. Not lackadaisy, but diligent. And continue in the faith even unto the end of his life. Not for a while, but till the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. Until death. Do I mean death for everybody? Well, almost. Almost. Because there will be some that are still alive when Christ returns. That will be the end of their mortal body, because it will be a changing in a twinkling of an eye. But for the vast masses, it's still death. We all, some of us at least, have a hope that we might still be here when Christ returns. I have that hope. My mother had that hope. She was wrong. Not wrong, no. She was disappointed, I guess. I have that hope. I may be disappointed. I don't know. But I am confident that there are people here today. Maybe just the younger generation, I don't know, that will be here when Christ returns. But whatever, it's the end of this mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which shall be, even unto the end of the world. That about covers all of us, don't it? It for sure gets us. Even to the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which has been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby a man can be saved except the condition which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. And here they're wanting to teach in school that there wasn't a creation. Some refer to it as a Big Bang theory, and I don't know what all. But there wasn't a creation. And they don't even want to let them have equal time to teach, they call the theory of creation. I think facts of creation would be better than theory. Believe in God, believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. Well, here we get in trouble. We get to thinking that, well, we ought to be able to comprehend everything. And if Scripture doesn't tell us, why, maybe we can figure it out for ourselves. And this is where we get in trouble. We have too many theories of what is going to be, things that be so-called the mysteries of God. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. Well, you know, repenting of our sins is one thing, but forsaking them, not going back and doing it again, can be something else. But it's necessary that we repent and don't do again those things that we know are wrong. I'm not going to look for a scripture that says that enough knowledge was given to every person to know right from wrong. But it is written in the Book of Mormon that every human has enough knowledge to know right from wrong. Now, it's possible that if we do wrong for a long enough time, that we may sort of sear that conscience that would tell us to where it almost not realize it anymore and go blindly on in the wrong direction. But if we seek to do God's will, do the things that He would have us to do, that knowledge is there. You have the knowledge. You can't claim ignorance. You can't claim that I didn't know. When that judgment bar comes, when we come to the judgment bar, maybe that would be a better phrase, I didn't know any better, Lord. It's not a satisfactory answer. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. Do you believe all these things? Now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. What do we know that we should do that we haven't done? What do we know that we should do that we... Well, maybe I'll wait a few more months. Maybe I'll wait till next spring. What makes you think that when next spring comes, you'll have any more determination to do what God has told us that we should do? That the scriptures have told us that we should do, that our preachers have told us we should do. Three or four of us this morning, all four, hopefully, have told you what some of the things that we have to do. Yes, for some, it is the beginning step. I guess putting an anchor down, as Joe used as an example, repentance and baptism and laying on of hands, that which is necessary to even get started into the kingdom of heaven, even to get started into that straight and narrow path. And as you tug on the chain of the anchor from time to time, let the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, might give us a tug back that we won't drift astray, that we won't go far astray. But knowing what to do and not doing it is horrible. Knowing what we must do and not doing it is horrible. Brother Joe said he had five more minutes. I could dispute it with him, but I got five more minutes, but I really don't have. We're going to have to sing a song here in a little bit and have a prayer. But let me bear just a little testimony. I hope it won't take very long. I was also raised in the church, as Brother Joe said. And his father baptized me. I grew up as Jack, and that's the name most everybody knew. And Brother Smith didn't bother to inquire if that was really my name or not. So I was baptized as Jack. And for many, many years, I was very concerned whether my salvation or whether my baptism was valid, because I was baptized under a A nickname? And I would have been pleased to have been baptized again, except I knew that I couldn't do that, because that would be a complete denial that the original baptism was valid. I never did tell anyone, my parents, my wife, my kids, anyone. Then I went to Grand Junction to a reunion there. And Brother Jordan called several of us to be elders. And he went through all the names, the first and last name, until they got to me and said, "Martin, I know your name." And Brother Jordan had no way in the world knowing that I had immersion, and it evaporated right there. I love you. Where's the pianist? Let's see, number 284. I hope you all have felt this worthwhile this morning. I appreciate each and every one of you coming. We'll have dinner in a little bit. Some of the ladies went back to start heating it. And around 2 o'clock, I think, depending on when we get done with our dinner, we'll reassemble, and Brother Marvin Case will be our speaker. 284. Would you stand, please?
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly now wash me and